If you listen closely to the reading from Matthew, you will have noticed that there are many things we don't know. We don't know where exactly in the East the wise men come from. We don't know how many of them there were. And the truth is, we don't even know whether they were men or women, because the word in Greek is magos, translated into English as magi. But this offers me an opportunity to ask you a riddle. And that is, having listened to this reading, how is it we know that the magi must have been women? Any takers?
They didn't need a map.
They didn't need a map close enough. They asked for directions. Well, now that we've gotten our first bad pulpit joke of the year out of the way, we can focus on the things we do know. And that is that these magi coming from the East were visitors. And from what we see in the text, they were unexpected. Nobody was planning a reception. Nobody knew that they were going to appear. Now, the way different people and parties respond is very telling. Consider, the first group the Magi encounter are the people of Jerusalem. They show up and they start asking questions. Where is it we will find the King of the Jews, this newborn King of the Jews? Now, the text doesn't tell us exactly how the citizenry reacted, but we can guess they began to talk. There was an expectation that the Messiah was going to come. Different people had different ideas as to what that meant, but there was something in the air. There was hope. There was possibility. And the people wanted to be delivered. They were seeking their freedom, their liberty. They wanted the Romans to be gone. And they yearned for the day when the house of David would once again rule over Israel. So word spread about the visitors and the question they're asking. They're people from away who believe that a new king has been born. Have you heard anything? What do you know? And before you know it, the questions and the comments and the gossip make their way to the palace and to Herod. Now, it's worth noting here that there are a number of commentators who pick on the Magi and say they weren't particularly clever for going to Herod and asking what he knew about the birth of this new king. But if we read the text closely, they didn't go to Herod. They asked the people of Jerusalem. And it's the people of Jerusalem who get the word back to Herod, and Herod responds to this story with fear. And his reaction was perfectly reasonable. For Herod may have borne the title King of the Jews, but that was by Roman fiat. Herod himself wasn't even a Jew. He was an Idumean. He was an outsider. And the people of Judah, of Jerusalem, of Israel, thought he was a pretender. And so he would have been worried about anything that could have undermined his legitimacy, his claim to the throne. The Romans wanted order in their provinces. And if Herod couldn't deliver it, they would dispense with it. So when he heard the story, as far-fetched as it might have seemed, he wanted to investigate so he could take action. Now, not surprisingly, the people around him, the leaders of the community, were also fearful, because they owed their positions to Herod, and if Herod fell, they would go with him too. Then we have the chief priests and the scribes. And again, we're not told exactly how they respond, but again, we can make an inference. Herod asks about this prophecy. What can you tell me? He seeks some context, some information. And so they go to Scripture and they tell him, yes, there is indeed a prophecy that says a king will come from Bethlehem. And what do they do after they have shared this information? Do they go to investigate? Do they go to see how the prophecy has been fulfilled? Not as far as we can tell. They seem to respond with indifference. Perhaps they're oblivious to what the Scripture means. But they're so caught up in their present and their own expectations that they can't see something new. Now, of course, the Magi aren't just unexpected visitors in Jerusalem. But they will be unexpected visitors to Bethlehem. It must have been quite the scene when these visitors appear to see Mary and Joseph and the newborn baby. Imagine you've just had a baby. And people dressed in strange exotic garb, bearing very expensive gifts, appear at your doorstep. You probably would be a little bit disoriented, curious, unnerved. And yes, we know from Matthew's text that Joseph had had a dream telling him about the special circumstances of this baby. He and Mary would have talked about this. And perhaps they would have offered hospitality, taking the Magi as a confirmation of the prophecy and the dream. We know that Joseph was a man of heart and courage for moving ahead with this marriage within the context of that time. And Mary, of course, was also courageous for having the baby, for accepting God's call. So there we might envision a generosity of spirit. As the Magi come and present their gifts and then drop to their knees and pay the baby homage. But there's another place, I believe, another place beyond Jerusalem and Bethlehem where these Magi would have been unexpected visitors. And that's back home. We read in the story how after they have visited the baby Jesus, they don't do as Herod instructs and go back to tell him where he can find the child, but instead they leave town by another road to return home. And that makes sense. They know they are going against the wishes of the king. And so it would be appropriate and prudent for them to take a different route. But traditionally, these words, going by another road, have been interpreted and understood, and I think appropriately so, to have a metaphorical quality, to talk about a change in their lives and the way they saw and did things. They couldn't go back the way they came. Because in their encounter with Jesus, they were changed. They had gone seeking something, hoping for something, yearning for something. A king. And where did they find him? Not in the palace, but in the manger. They could have been disappointed. They could have felt disillusioned, let down. But clearly, they were euphoric and filled with happiness and joy as they prayed to this new king. What were they like when they got back home? We don't know. Some of them may have been the kind of people who, having had a transcendent experience, can't stop talking about it. At every dinner party, at every family gathering, at every meeting, it would have gone on and on and on. about how wonderful it was. Oh, you should have seen the baby. It was so exciting. It was so neat. It was wonderful. And then others may have undergone a quiet change, something that affected them inside their heart that they didn't reflect to the wider world, but subtly affected the way they did things and saw things and experienced life. Their friends, their neighbors, their colleagues, the authorities may not have known what to do with these changed magi. And they may have responded with apprehension, anxiety, bemusement. Different ways to respond to different visitors. Now today, you and I have the opportunity to consider how we would respond to unexpected visitors. Indeed, one in particular. And I'm not suggesting that there is a lone magus who is going to wander into this church on this icy cold day. But instead, I think of Jesus, who will come to each of us at moments and times when we're not prepared, when we're focused on other activities and priorities, when we're busy with stuff we have to do. How are you and I going to respond to this unexpected visitor? Will it be with the fear of Herod? The indifference of the scribes, the hospitality of Joseph and Mary, the anxiety or apprehension of the folks back home, or perhaps with the joy and enthusiasm and excitement of the Magi. How we respond to this is not a joke. And hopefully it's not a riddle for us. Instead, it is the stuff of which our lives are made, our faith informed. So this day, let's join together with the Magi in offering homage to the newborn King, prayers to God that we will be open to a new thing, that we will follow the star that will lead us to love incarnate to the kingdom of God.